Good Monday morning. Maybe I shouldn't yell so much here. First thing Monday morning, got back late last night from down at Roan Mountain, Tennessee. Had a wonderful time there. I'm going to get into that a little bit. We may be a little bit light in the queue here this morning. A lot of people are still down there. Michelle and I had to get home. I just got, you know, I'm leaving again this weekend or midweek for Missouri, and I just got a lot of So I figured I'll sleep when I get home, and I did. Just great to be here. You know, I was thinking about something as I was coming down the steps this morning. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't really act like we do. We really don't. He said he had first commandment. He said he had no other gods before him, and we got a lot of them before him. We have a lot of things that we believe other than the Lord. A lot of things. We hear something from Fauci, we believe what Fauci says. We hear something from Trump, we believe what Trump says. We hear something from Jim Jordan, we believe what Jim Jordan says. We hear something from Tom Brokaw, I don't even know if he's still alive. We have this written word of God, and we don't believe what it says. It's really, really pretty amazing. One of the great deceptions of all time is the devil's attempt and right now appearing to be very, very successful onslaught on truth and on the kingdom of God, the throne of God. The devil wants it. And he's there. But I was encouraged about something again. Just want to say this real quickly. I'm going to move on. You know, God works through people. He works through people. And it's amazing that those of us who really, maybe not those of us, we Christians who have really lost sight of the supernatural and how powerful God really is. We just kind of feel like we have to beg and appeal to him to do things on our behalf. You know, the Bible says that wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal, whatever. I'm telling my brain's fried this morning. Wages of sin is death. That sin separates us from God. If we were to just take a relationship between a father and a child, and you think about anybody out there that has children, no matter how old they are, how much you love those children and how much you would do for them if they simply ask you to. But your kids wouldn't have to come around and beg you for stuff. You know, somehow we feel that we have to beg God for. The Bible says, for every good and perfect gift comes from Father above. No shadow of turning. Everything does. You know, because we've fallen away from the supernatural, we don't think God can do anything. We lost sight of the fact that God works through people. God works miracles through people. And if we're going to see that mountain removed, which I spoke a little bit about last week, the Bible says, be thou... See this mountain, speak unto that mountain, be cast in the sea, you know. It shall be done whatsoever I say. That was a really poor interpretation of it. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, don't doubt in your heart. You shall have whatsoever you sayeth. It involves some action. You've got to do something to make that happen. And there's a great, great awakening going on around America, but we have to be careful that we don't fall at that great awakening that's going on in America, fall back only into the political realm. We discussed on last Friday, I think it was, about authority and our rightful authority and how can two walk together unless they agree? And how can Christians live in a country? How can Christians live in a secular country? How can a country that was formed by Christians be turned over to the secularists? And how can Christian values continue to be functioning and operating and Christians be able to walk in that world? That's really where we are. That's really what we're facing, folks. Really is. And I believe that God, even though many of us study prophecy, and they love to quote the book of Revelation and what it says in Daniel and what Jesus said in Matthew, but the reality of it is here we are, here we sit right now today. And if I woke up today and had never read a Bible, the circumstances of the world would never change. Whether I had this book to explain them to me or whether I didn't, they'd never change. But what we do is we get trapped so much inside the book that we're not able to get our eyes up and look at what's going on around us. And say, yeah, the Bible's playing out right in front of us. But, you know, we talk to a lot of people who don't know what the Bible says. They don't know. They don't understand. You talk about a mark of a beast. You talk about submission. You talk about deception. You talk about all that stuff. And a lot of people don't even know what, certainly people who aren't believers don't even know what we're talking about. They have no understanding of it all. And I remember a pastor, I think maybe it was Rod Parsley, when I was a young Christian, Pastor Rodley said that we become so heavenly conscious that we become no earthly good. Say that again. Become so heavenly conscious that we become no earthly good. And that's where a lot of us are stuck. And this, I believe, is going to be our greatest hour. This is going to be it, man. This is something. What a time to be alive. We had a wonderful time. Wonderful time down at Roan Mountain. And I just want to, I told Clay Parker and Kathleen, just give me a couple minutes here, folks. Clay Parker and his wife, Kathleen, that they get merit badges. I guess I got to get some merit badges made up. They did an amazing time, amazing thing, putting that whole thing together. We had about 80, I think. I never really got a good count. We got 80 people. Are you ready for this? 80 people from 21 different states. 21 different, they drove from New Hampshire, they drove from Wisconsin, they drove from Texas, they drove from, where else, Michelle? They 21 different states represented at that little huddle that we put on. And I have to tell you, Sunday morning church was the most real church-like experience I'd ever been in my life. And it's hard to explain to you. So we've become so, what's the word I'm looking for? Structured in even our worship services. Structured. Most of you go to church on Sunday, you know when you walk in, you know what the service is going to be. You could write the bulletin for the pastor. Maybe just change a name here and there or a special song here and there. But you could write that pattern. What I saw happen yesterday during our Sunday morning service was just the free flow of the Spirit. Somewhere in this word, it says that everyone comes to church. Everyone has a song. Everyone has a. Does anybody know where that is? Church is supposed to be.
1 Corinthians about 14. I'll find it for you.
Okay. Church is supposed to be participatory. It's not supposed to be a performance where everybody sits in chairs and smoke machines going up on the stage and one man walks up there and he's on the podium and he's up above everybody else and everybody looks at him and he gives you the word of the day. And the rest of you sit there and some of you get a good word and feel better and walk out of there and don't do anything when you leave. It's supposed to be participatory. You're supposed to have some skin in the game when you come to church. And from 21 different states yesterday, we had participatory church. One guy'd give a testimony, this guy'd give a testimony. Mark Trump was in charge of the service yesterday. Professor Toto was supposed to join us, but they wouldn't let him get on a plane. He was going to fly in on Sunday morning or Saturday night, I'm not sure which. Clay had worked all that out, and he was going to come and he was going to be with us on Sunday morning, and he got a hold of Clay, said, I can't make it. They won't let me get on a plane. So Sunday morning, I get up and I went to Mark Trump. I said, hey, Mark, you're up. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're up, man. You're doing Sunday morning service. It's about 10 minutes before it starts. He said, Coach, what do you want me to talk about? I said, Mark, just talk, man. Just do it. It was unbelievable. It's unbelievable. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Can you pull that up there real quick, Spencer? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Hang on. Is that it? I don't know if that's it. When we come together, it's supposed to, we'll find it. Somebody will find it for me. It's supposed to be participatory.
It's in Mark, Ephesians here, Coach.
Thank you. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's more to it, Sam. I'm looking to more than just 19. One man, I'm sorry, I don't have this. This just came to me as I was coming down the steps, right? Everybody has something to play in this thing called church other than just tithes and offerings, right? We saw a real functioning body from 21 different states. It was amazing. Mark Trump, by the way, spoke about energy. You know, as only Mark can do it, right? About energy and the power of music and the power of colors and the power of the spoken word. And it was God. Hey, here's the good news. Thank God for Bobby Lee. Bobby Lee filmed every bit of it. And we're going to get it all up on the website so you can all watch it. I got to look over here a second. Dr. Scott Lively did the most unbelievable presentation on the sexual revolution and what happened to us. He went through it. He started back and boom, went right through it. Verse 23 of what, Sam? Where is it, brother?
It's 1 Corinthians 14, starting verse 23, 24, 25, 26.
Okay, Frank, let me get this off my head. 1 Corinthians 14. Beginning where, Dale?
Go down to verse 23.
Down about 23. Stay right there. Okay. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them believe, but to, wow, I don't even get, Lord, move me on. I don't even want to go there. I'll get down that road. I'll never get back up.
It's all part of the gifting, and it gets into
26. That's right. Let's talk about the giftings, okay?
26 is the one you're looking for.
Thanks, Sam. 26. Slide on down a bit, Spencer. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, ask yourself if this is the way your church functions or the church that you've went to your whole life. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm. You hath a doctrine. You hath a tongue. You hath a revelation. Every one of you, you hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. By the way, I can't get away from this tongue thing because people don't understand tongues. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or to most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. That's giving a tongue. Praying in tongues is something different. Here's the point I'm making.
Body ministering body, brother.
Body ministering to body. When we took communion yesterday, I hope you guys are still doing the Matthew 26:26 for 26 days, taking communion every morning. I hope you are. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit showed me yesterday, I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's true. You judge for it. Because it says when you take communion, that some are sick amongst you for what? Not discerning the body. And yesterday when we read that, we took it. I don't even know if we read it, but it came to me. Not discerning the body. Was he talking about the wafer? Is that what he was talking about? No, it couldn't be that. Because when we were in that room yesterday morning, I began to discern the body in that I saw this gift from Mark Trump. I saw this gift over here from Naomi Havens. I saw this gift from Ohio Brett. I saw, and every gift that we need, I saw this gift from Jackie Manna. And everything that we need is right within the body. Everything's there. And the Bible said that there's many among us are sick because why? We don't discern the body. So you go to church on Sunday morning. Can I tell you the truth? It is a performance. It's a Sunday morning performance. You have some singers and you have a pastor and he does a performance. Not all churches, okay, but come on, for the most part, right? And as a result, there sits that great gift in the body of, there sits Bob Evans in church his whole life and never begin given the opportunity to use his gift. And his gift atrophies and wastes away. And over here's my precious wife, Michelle, who has this gift of hospitality and serving. And she goes sit in some big mega church and sit down. She never get a chance to serve. She does serve. She has to serve the church. It was just a powerful, powerful moment yesterday. As Mark Trump did that, he did that chart for us that one day and showed us, you know, mental, physical, and how all that impacts. And we, folks, listen, our job is to discern the body. My job is to figure out what is it John Lee needs that I can help provide. And if I can't provide it for John Lee, who is it in the queue that can? Who is it in this body? Steve Deckey, listening to this one, this is amazing. We're down there, some guy from, I cannot remember his name. I draw a blank on it. I was talking to him, Steve, about Sky High and digging the pond and what the vision that I was sharing that with everybody. And he comes up to me afterwards, Steve, you know what he says? I'll dig that pond. He says, that's what I do. I'll be glad to come up and dig that pond for you. He said, if you go out and you rent the equipment, I'll dig it. I know what I'm doing. And I'm thinking, Lord, there it is. There is the functioning body. There it is. And there's many of them who are sick amongst us because we don't discern it. We don't recognize the gift. We don't recognize the giftings in the body, in the church. Larry Richardson came, and I never even got a chance to talk to Larry because he cooked the whole friggin' time he was there. He cooked. That's all he did. He brought his trailer with him. And sometimes the people would go out and help him do something, and somebody said, man, that's poor Larry. He's working himself to the bone. I said, what are you talking about? He's serving. It's what he wants to do. It brings life to him to be able to exercise his gift. Does he get worn down? Yes, he does. He does get worn down, but he's exercising his gift. And Chad Estick gets, yeah, he drove all the way down there. Just saying, Chad. Just saying. Chad gets down there, and what does he get? Why would Chad Estes, 21 states, why would Chad Estes drive all that way to the hills of Tennessee? Why would he do it? Because he has a gift he wants to exercise. He wants to be of some value to the body. There are many of you that are sick because you think you're an old purple thumb. You're a hemorrhoid. You have no purpose at all. When you run out of purpose, you run out of direction. Or when you run out of direction, you run out of purpose. You waste away on the pews. This weekend was my 50th class reunion. I didn't get a chance to go to it. I graduated in 1971. So this is 2021, and I got some pictures this morning from the class reunion. Look at some of those. My friends got old. They're old men. I'm an old man now. I'm an old man. And I wondered if I could go back and go to that reunion. How many of them were really I don't want this to sound bad, okay? I don't want this to sound wrong. How many of them were really doing significant things with their lives? Really significant things that would leave a mark. Joe Allen, his wife, drive up. Joe does a teaching on preparation and weapons. Why would he do that? Because he had a gift. He wanted to exercise the gift. I'm looking at my list. Oh my goodness. The people that came and served. Scott Lively gave the most unbelievable presentation. John Diamond. Mark Trump. Tom Dunn. Jackie Manna. Josh Manna's. It's one of the highlights. You're going to have to see it. She's a ventriloquist. Jackie's a ventriloquist. A real one. She has dummies. And she pulled a dummy out of the box, whatever it is. And it was a dummy of me with a cross hat on and glasses. And she sat that dummy on her knee. It was unbelievable. Thinking, what a gift. What a gift. What a gift to share the gospel with people. Jackie was, you blessed me, Jackie. And Ohio Brett, Mike Heath, Joe Allen, Jared came down. Bobby, I'm leaving others out. But we're sick because we don't discern the body. We don't recognize and encourage and support one another's gifts. And I just want to say to all of you out there that 21 different states, the 80 of you that came from 21 different states, I was so blessed to be amongst you. We go walk the Appalachian Trail and go up on that hill for that breeze and reclaim the high ground up on top of that hill. Good stuff. It's really, really good stuff. So we're doing it again here, friends. October 9th and 10th here at Sky High. And I want 200 of you here. So what? Yep, I want 200 of you here. So why, Coach? Because you got to experience what we just experienced. And I'm telling you this, we better get prepared because some of you are going to need a body to run to when the crap hits the fan. And I want you to be able to come, see Sky High, get to know the body, the other parts of the body. Don't just know Steve Deck from the video, the show. Look Steve Deck in the eyeball, shake his hand, get to know him, feel him. He's flesh and blood. Come and meet Betty Perkins. Come and meet her and hug her. Come on, 200 of you. Put it on your calendar and come. You'll be blessed. I'm kind of rambling. I'm tired. But I looked around and said, Lord Jesus, 21 different states. What is going on here? And this little thing here that we're doing, it would cause people from 21 states to come. Anybody got an answer to that? What is it? Please don't come in here and say what a wonderful teacher I am. Please don't do that. What is it that would make people come here from 21 different states? Anybody got an opinion on that? Come on in, Debbie Perkins.
It's the call of the Lord. They put, you know, he puts it on their heart, and if you obey, then you go where he leads you.
That's well said. That's well said. But it's more than that, though, Debbie, because not everybody does it. Not everybody does it. Michelle, come on in, then Ralph.
Coach, I'm going with the Spirit because the Spirit brings people. He calls them. So whatever it is, it will have to be God's Spirit because that opens eyes, that opens ears, that makes your heart warm. So I won't put flesh and blood in front of it. I'll just say it's God's Spirit, whatever way he wants to do it.
Yeah. I would agree, but it's not drawing everybody. Ralph, come on in, John.
It's very simple, Coach. This is real church. That's all it is. It's the real church here.
It was real church, man. I'm telling you, on Sunday, it was real church. It was real church. It was real church. Come on in, John.
Coach, there's a hunger. There's a hunger out there, brother. And I think you've tapped into it.
I think you're right. I think there's a great hunger. I think there's a great hunger for the real thing. The real thing. And the most amazing part of the weekend together is the relationships. The different people moving around that room, getting to meet others, starting conversations, sharing things. My lights just flickered. I hope I'm not going to lose some power here again. If I do, Sam, get ready. I think you're right, John. I think you're right. Oh, I don't know if we're ready for what the Lord's laid on my heart. When I was coming home, Michelle and I talked about it all the way home. Paul Webb, then come in, and Betty.
I think it is, Coach, because you encourage people to step out and you give people a platform and you don't act like you know it all.
Amen.
Most churches, the pastor acts like he's the shell answer man. You know, he knows everything.
But Paul, you know? we can't always blame him because we've put him in that position, haven't we? We've put him in. He is the Bible answer man in the church, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right? We have.
We've done
that. But that's what I think is drawing a lot of people, particularly like you talked about the gentleman that talked about helping you with the pond. Well, he was encouraged because he saw what people were doing, that they're stepping out. And so he got encouraged to step out.
He
and that's
didn't,
what
he,
happened.
Paul, he didn't even really know me, I don't think. I mean, there were some people that came there. I don't know. Some of them came because they thought Professor Toto was going to be there. There were some people. They weren't cult followers of Coach Dave. You understand what I'm saying? But he came there and he looked around that room and thought, my God, what is going on here? And I laid out the vision that we were going to start with a pond and all that kind of stuff. And he comes up after and says, I'd dig that pond for you. That's what I do. I'll be glad to dig that thing for you. What? Discerning the body. Many among you are sick, not discerning the body. We're a body, folks. Betty?
Yes, I want to say thank you. I enjoyed that this weekend. Also, whoever said it was hungry, I agree. I went to all these church and I felt empty. There's just, I was looking for something, but I could not find it. And I tell you what, people are hungry for the word, but they just don't know which way to turn.
Amen. Amen. We did what, 3 baptisms yesterday, 3 or 4 baptisms yesterday. That's awesome. Took them down in that cold water rushing down. No. Hey, by the way, we were far away from the flood in Tennessee. Horrible flood. That was clear out in western Tennessee. We were very, very far as east as you can get in Tennessee. So we weren't affected by that. But the water was still pretty cold, and we had some baptisms that took place right then and right there. We didn't have to give them any classes from the church or make sure they knew our doctrine or anything like that. We just let them come in and be baptized, confess that Jesus Christ was their Savior. Come in and be baptized. Oh, I'm going to go someplace. Come on in, Sam.
Just want to read a couple verses here because we've moved around and touched upon it. Let's shout it out from the word. This is on in 1 Corinthians 14. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. It's very important, and this is something you'll never see in the church bulletin, the way that things are normally done in the machinery, that person will stand down. This is part of the things, Coach, that really drew me to your program, is that this is what you do 20 minutes into your program every day, is to see what's revealed to another. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. That means shut up if y'all don't understand.
Amen. Names. Is that verse 14, Sam? Is that where you are? That's
1 Corinthians 14 and 30.
30.
Verse 31, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted.
There's that body again, right, Sam? There's discerning the body again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody is supposed to be charged up and to have something to give. Now, there is a caveat. This is 29. Now I'm going to read 29 and 32. Let the prophet speak 2 or 3 and let the other judge. So, you know, you hit that button or you stand up, understand that the word is going to be judged. And then this is what this means. 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So this is where the body then polices itself. And yes, a lot of people don't want in here because it's dangerous, but this is what it is to approach the fire that is the living God.
It singes, doesn't it, brother? It singes. And oh my goodness, we had church this week, and I can't even tell you. Come on in, Joe.
Coach, I know what it is. You were a coach in football to train you to be the real coach you're meant to be now. And what you do now is you take people off of the bench when they're ready. And
you're there.
And you take them off the bench when you're ready. And you let them in the game. Other churches don't do that. Because they're churches.
Amen.
You're a coach. It's different. You're doing it different. And this is what you were meant to do while you had all the years of trials and success and challenges with football training you for today.
Amen, Joe. And again, the job of a coach is not to play the game for you, folks. The job of a coach is to help you play the game better. Now, part of it is I got to let you make some mistakes. A good coach lets a player make some mistakes. That's how you learn, right? And a lot of times when the player makes that mistake, you don't even have to say anything to it because he knows you taught him better than that. And when he did it, he says, oh, my goodness. You don't even have to, you know, he comes around. I remember a number of times a guy would screw up and get beat deep, something like that, and miss a tackle or whatever. And the kid would come running off the field. And he knew when he ran off that field, who did he have to run into? Me. And when he come running off that field, sometimes all I had to do was fold my arms and look at him. I didn't even have to say anything because he knew. He knew. Practical application. He knew.
Yeah, when I was a boss, the best thing I could do for my team was to let them grow and do something they hadn't done yet before on their own.
Have to do it, man.
And so many bosses didn't know how to do that. They didn't know how to do it. I mean, it was in an investment bank, and you got to. It can be expensive if you get something wrong. You just got to keep your eyes open and make sure there's no real mistakes made. You got to let people in the game. Otherwise, they don't grow, and they'll join another team.
Well, Joe, not only that, you have to develop players around you. That's what's making what we do so effective is we're getting some players, man. We're getting some players.
You have to develop your successor in case you get hit by the bus before the next game.
Next man up, right? Next man up. Hey, the next guy up ain't going to be me. He can't be me, but he can be whoever he is, trained by me, trained by us, equipped and trained. Folks, that's what the body's supposed to do, equip and train the saints for the works of the ministry, not to go in there and be taught how to just live a perfect life. It's the focus. We got to change the focus. Come on here, Randy. Wish you could have been there, Randy. I wish all of you could have been there. It was just, my goodness.
Coach, I'd love to have been there. I
don't feel guilty, please. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty.
No. Okay. So, yeah, we'd had 22 stakes there. Oklahoma had been there, Coach.
Yep, amen.
Coach, if y'all haven't watched the Field of Dreams, an old movie, Kevin Costner, you need to go watch it because this is what's happening, Coach. You have an apostolic gift, Coach, and we don't see that very much. There's not many of them out there. They're messed up in their theology, and they can't even be walking their anointing. But Coach, you're doing that well, and what you're doing, you're building that field, and God is finding hungry people all over the country, and they're coming. And that's exactly what he's doing. He is trying to build the church, the real church, to come forth. And you've built a field for that to happen, Coach. That's what I see.
And Randy, a good coach. I don't know if Coach Norm's in here today. Mark Collier's in here today. Folks, look at me. A real leader reproduces himself. And I've said this a number of times. If I've done a good job at what I do, I can miss practice and I won't even be missed. Oh, I'll be missed. Where's Coach Dave? I'll be missed. But like the other day, I didn't have anything to do with this. When the computer went out, boom, Sam was right there. Sam picked up the fumble and ran with it, right? He didn't need me to say, hey, Sam, would you pick up that ball for me, Sam? No, because when the ball's on the ground, somebody picked the damn thing up, right? Somebody pick it up. And Sam clearly somewhere along the way has been trained and equipped to be able to, he felt confident enough to pick up the ball and run with it. Any number of you could have done it, but he did it. By the way, I went back and listened to it, Sam. I went back and listened. I wonder what I missed when Sam got in it. Sam saying bad things about me. Dude, you did great, man. You did great. But see, if Sam came in and took over, he would maybe take it a different direction, but he understands team. He would involve everybody in that direction that we're going. That's a missing link. And well, God works through people. There are many among you who are sick, not discerning who's on the team. Right here. I don't do anything to brag. Okay. I don't do this to pat myself on the back. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't. Yesterday, in the morning service, I said, somebody in here needs some money. I don't know who you are. You guys who are there can testify to it. So I don't know who you are. Who is it? Who's got a financial need right now? You can't even hardly sleep at night. Who is it? And of course, they wouldn't say it. They wouldn't say who they were. But afterwards, they did. They came up to me. And Betty, I was able to give them that money you gave me. I was able to reach in my pocket and give them the money you gave me, Betty. I didn't go out and spend it on a new suit. I don't even have suits. New shirt. I didn't go out. I took that money that you gave, you put in my hand, and you trusted it into my hand, Betty, and I took it out of my hand, and I put it in another person's hand. That's the way the body functions. Supposed to. And I was talking about the whole idea of tithing. I wasn't talking out to everybody. The whole idea of tithing. Folks, I don't have any problem with tithing. But I have problem with legalistic tithing. You just give your 10%, figure it down to the penny, really? And then you give your 10% legalized tithing to the church, and then the people in the church can't even pay their daggone electric bills. And they come to the church and need money to pay their electric bill. Well, electric, they can't do it. They just bought a smoke machine. They just repaved the parking lot. What? Well, the Bible says bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there be meat in my house. Not smoke machines, not carpet, not blacktop. Bring the tithes of the storehouse so my people can come and get some meat when they need it. You know I'm telling you the truth. They build up those tithes and offerings and make you feel guilty about giving tithes and offerings. And boy, they look at their budget and say, man, we got a whole bunch of money here. Wow, let's hire some more staff. There you go. We're off and running. Some of them don't even have a food pantry in their own church. Listen, I'm not trying to kick anybody in the teeth. I was just overwhelmed this weekend. I was just overwhelmed by it. I see it. So I've got several emails here. October 8th, 8th, is it 9th and 10th? Whatever it is, it's at Sky High here, right here where I live. 6591 Crislin Hill Road. I'll get all the information out. Come, if you can only come, just come for an afternoon if you can. Just come. If you have a camper, you can boondock it. In other words, I got plenty of space. You can plant your overnight camper. I don't have running water for you to plug in. I don't have sewer. But if you have a camper, we have water, but we don't have hookups. But you can park all across that field. You can do it. And we're going to get the body of Christ together. I'm shooting for 200. My wife said, where are you going to put 200? I said, I'm going to get 6 friggin' tents and put them up if I have to. We're going to get 200 people here. And we're going to fellowship with each other. We're going to get to know each other. And we're going to train and equip you guys to do what needs to be done right where you live. You are the apostles. You're the new ones. You're the disciples. You guys are right where you live. Some of you need to be stronger and stand up and, oh, Lord, I'll say it, Lord. Here's something that we need to pray about. I was talking, Michelle and I were, golly, I don't even want to say it because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Well, Lord, how do I say it? Somebody say, Coach, just say it. I'm waiting for somebody to say, Coach, just say it.
Just say it.
Okay. I'm just gonna say it. Okay, quit egging me on. I'm just going to say it. Just going to say it. We have a lot of single people come to our events. The wife comes, the husband doesn't. The husband comes, the wife doesn't. That's not good. I don't know the answer to it. I don't know the solution to it, but we can't be unequally yoked. And you guys will notice this about Michelle and I. We may argue all the way down in the car, and we may argue all the way home in the car. But when we get out of the car, wherever we are one. You guys know that, right? You see that. And I cannot do what I do without her. And she cannot do what she does without me. We are one. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to encourage some of you because I know you struggle with it. I know you don't want it like that. I know you want your spouse to come. I know. And I just think that ought to be a targeted prayer that we all just begin to pray in and around this group of people, that we'd all become one. There'd be unity in the home. And one of the hard things is, can I tell you the truth? You all know this. The last thing I'm going to do is prove my wife right. If my wife's been telling me, honey, you need to do this. I'm telling you, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And I'm getting madder every time she tells me. And then all of a sudden, I call the plumber, and the plumber comes over and says, you need to do this. And my wife looks at me. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody live that one? Anybody live that one? So what we have is a situation in the house where one doesn't want to submit to the other. One doesn't want to give in to the other, even though maybe you're right, right? So I would suggest to some of you out there, quit swinging the hammer and start swinging the velvet glove. Lure him with love. Don't allow this here to be a dividing spot in your home. Don't allow that to happen.
Thank you, Coach. I'm going to stand up and admit that's you with me, and I thank you, and I'll appreciate all prayers.
That's right. That's right. Pray for that one. Don't hoard it over the... Listen, God loved you enough that he enlightened you. And some of you are living in a home with somebody that's not enlightened. I have to tell you this. You may be the last one they'll listen to. So just pray that the Lord's going to bring somebody across their path. And you look how, when you're dealing with that person, how you can be less combative and trying to get them. You can't hammer them to Jesus. It doesn't work, man. It doesn't work. Just try to serve them and not compromise. Am I making sense out there? Am I making sense? I know. The last thing I want to do is prove my wife right. She says, honey, you need to go do this. You need to go see the doctor. I ain't going to the doctor. What are you talking about? Yeah, honey, you need to go to the doctor. I ain't going to the doctor. And I go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you should have been here a month ago. Where you been? And I got to go home. Michelle's sitting right there in the doctor's room with me, right? I said, time out, doc. Let me get my wife out of here. Then shut up till my wife gets out of here, will you? Because the last thing I want her to know is that she was right. And through my own pride, I resisted. Come on in, Kevin.
Yeah, Coach, I just wanted to say there is such a hunger out there for true, honest, genuine fellowship. And I think a lot of us feel that hunger, and I think that's why we're drawn to this group. And I think that's a real symptom of the modern church in America, that they've left the body hungry for fellowship. They walk in hungry, they walk out hungry. And I know a lot of people probably here have had the same experience. The last thing they want to do is go into a church full of backbiters, gossips, you know, you got the cliques and the crowds and all of this garbage, when that's not what they're going for in the first place. They just want true, genuine fellowship with other people that are looking for the same thing. And I can't tell you how many church bodies I've been in over the years where I've thought to myself, you know, if this is the last place I would want to send a baby Christian into, because right, once they started to really figure it out, my fear is they would walk away from Christ. You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, Coach, I have never felt that about this group. I've never felt that once. In fact, I encourage people that I talk to check this group out, because I don't feel that with this group.
Well, that's because theology can be a prison. Oh, I would say that again. That was right from the Holy Spirit. Some of you are trapped in prison of your theology. And that's a lot. In a lot of the homes, that's the issue. One believes this, the other one believes this. And so they're loggerheads over that, right? Theology is a prison. And we have to be able to bust ourselves out of that and just live humbly before the Lord. I'm all over the place here this morning. I got 15 minutes left. Somebody come in here. I had a show planned. But it is really, really, it's really, really heavy on me. And the thing I appreciate, Michelle and I, we had 6 hours, 6.5 hours on the phone yesterday, in the car together yesterday. And when she wasn't on her phone and I wasn't driving and on my phone and going too fast, every once in a while I'd talk to her a little bit, and she would talk to me a little bit. We talked about a lot of these issues that we're talking about here, and how so many of us really aren't one. And until we are able to get to that point, until we're able to get to that point, we're not going to be so effective for the kingdom. We'll be so effective. What is it? What does a prosperous man gain the whole world and lose his family, lose his wife in the process of it? I don't even know why the Lord's having me say this today, other than these. I feel somebody want to jump in here?
I know you're talking to me, Coach.
Not on purpose. I'm not, Mark. Not on purpose. It is, right? It is. It's an albatross. It's an albatross for sure. Go on in, Mel.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a lot of us. You know, I think about other people that I know, you know, in the ministry and, you know, with Pass the Salt. And it's a struggle. And, you know, you try to bring your spouse along. And I think, you know, in my situation, I mean, he's, you know, comes along some, but I just don't think he can understand kind of because he just doesn't spend as much time here. But, right. You know, he's working and, you know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. So.
Well, here's part of the reason. And I saw, okay, I'll say it, Lord. I told Michelle coming home, I can't bring this subject up. I said, I just can't bring it up. I'm going to bring it up. And it's part of what the culture's done to us. It's again, I'm always amazed at the number of single women who come to our events. Single men too, but more single women. I wonder where their husband? Where's their husband? And I wonder, please don't, hey, no, I'm not reading your mail. I'm wondering what's the attitude in the home when the husband didn't come and she came? And how does the Lord bless that? How does he bless that? Disunity. Bible says where there's unity, God commands the blessing. And those of you who are not holding me up, look at Bob and Tammy Evans, how they serve each other. I could run down the list. And I'm not trying to make anybody mad because there isn't anything you can do about it. I mean, if you're in one of those marriages or in one of those relationships, I don't know how to fix it. It's important that you do it with humility rather than saying, see, I told you so. See, I was right. See, you see, you know, if you just quit doing it, if you quit doing all that and then start coming with me, then maybe, not the right way. Not the right way. Just continue to serve and invite. And I think anybody out there can get them around this group. Their lives are going to be changed. I believe that. Dale, come on in then, Tracy.
Brother, yeah, absolutely. You know, for the women, obviously, 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about the gentle, meek spirit, even if their husbands are in disobedience unto the Lord, that they might be won over, even without our words. But brother, I have known you for a long time. We have fought in battle holes. We haven't played church. We fought. And brother, you have done something to me. This is where we need to be challenged. And the first thing that came to my heart was this. Unleash it locally. You need to unleash this locally. What you have heard in Tennessee, you are now to go home and proclaim it from the rooftop. Unleash these things locally.
Yep.
Brother, you had challenged me. Well, you didn't challenge me. You just put it out there, the 6-foot icicle years ago. Brother, it's nothing against that. I always encourage in the body. But brother, even yesterday, allowing the gifts to flow into our service. I did not preach a passage of scripture for 2 hours. It wasn't until the very closing because the body was ministered. But then you said, because you know me, I'm a homeschooler. And I'm like, I don't need to go to these board meetings or whatever. And you're like, you know what? We need to. We need to. Brother, we went to that board meeting last week. And the testimony that is happening now. We are getting phone calls. We are being asked, can we open up our church? Of course, we're like, absolutely. We have 3 new families in our church since then, 2 new homeschool families. Wait a minute. And it's getting even better. Brother, let me tell you what is happening on this. Not only are people coming. Yesterday, as I was finishing, I love to start my preparing of my sermon through the week. Sunday morning, I'm putting the final message on it. The Lord wrecked me yesterday morning. He says, I want you to preach out of Judges chapter 6 on Gideon. One of the ladies in the church says her friend went to her pastor and told her pastor, I feel led to be called out from the church. I'm letting you know. So she was doing it properly. And she said, the Lord was showing me Judges chapter 6 on Gideon. This is a person I don't even know. She said, because you're not talking about the things that are happening in the earth today. No, nothing mixed with the politics and talking. And when my friend, my elder's wife, heard me preach on Judges chapter 6, and she told her friend, guess where she said she's coming to church next week?
Hmm.
Brother, they're coming. They are coming because they are hungering and they are thirsting for living water.
Not only living water, but living water that applies to where they're living their lives. Rather than Christianity being self-help, which is pretty much for the most part what it is, they want to go deeper. Tracy, come on then the gunslinger.
Well, I just wanted to say about that subject real quick. I'm not giving up hope, because me and my husband met when I wasn't in a good way, and I'm here now. You know, I found Jesus and I'm following his path. So all I can do is just keep hoping and praying that, you know, in his time that like you say, I am clearing that path for him to follow.
Amen.
And I'm just not going to give up hope.
And Tracy, you got to see your grandson Jeremiah baptized in that cold water rolling down that hill.
Huh? Amen. That was worth it to me.
Take that, devil. That's what I say. Take that, devil.
Take it. Yep. Thank you, everybody. Yep. I had a great weekend. This was fabulous.
Amen. Randy. Well, Gunslinger, I'm sorry. Gunslinger was next.
Go ahead, Gunslinger.
I put my hand down. Thank you. I just want to return to the bench where we were talking about everyone being part of the game. And I just want to touch that again, because everybody's known a coach that all he cared about was his A team.
Hmm.
Especially everybody who's played in school, maybe didn't win a letter. Maybe they were on the second or the third string. Maybe they were the person that was forgotten about. If you look at the book of Zechariah, where the Lord is talking about being the good shepherd, and he's talking about the idol shepherd or the spirit of Antichrist, very prevalent right now. And here's what he says about the spirit of Antichrist. This is Zechariah 11:16. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. So the coach is not out there on the gym floor looking for a kid that's in a cast. They're not looking for somebody that's sick. But sometimes that's the heart of the good shepherd, is to see the potential in that person. And I'm not saying you're supposed to waste all your time and effort on lost causes, but this is where we can bring somebody to an event. It's a lot of fun to bring somebody. And then you got all that time in the car, like Coach was talking about, where you can sow into that person's life.
Amen.
And maybe you'll find a star player. And just one more thing. This is a very difficult subject you brought up, Coach, about the people that will not get along. And I just want to confirm that Dale was right. The word shows us that meekness and gentle correction and a proper quiet spirit, that's the place to start. But I just have to come in as the gunslinger and say, there's a lot of condemned people walking around in our society. There's a lot of people that should have been judged for their crimes, and they haven't. And many of those are capital crimes. And part of what's coming on the earth right now is the reward of the wicked. This is what Psalm 91 says. The wicked are going to get their reward. And, you know, we can be waiting for somebody to turn around, but eventually the Lord's patience is going to run out, and that fuse is going to burn down into the dynamite. And then what? We can look forward to the new world where crimes are actually punished. And part of what the coach brings forth every day is that there's horrible crimes in our society that people are getting away with. And the Lord says it's not going to go on forever like that.
Amen. Amen, Sam. Hey, Sam, somebody's coached you a long way, brother. You do pretty good. Randy, come on in.
Hey, Coach, I just want to give some encouragement to the spouses. Coach,
Yeah, that, thanks, Randy, because I'm not trying to condemn anybody.
Not at all, Coach. No, but I understand it. I've been there, and me and my wife both have been in that situation where one was not there and one was. And that's – but, Coach, here's the best advice I can give, and I think this will help a lot of people. If it's your husband, ladies, just say, Father God, that's your son. That is your son. I release him to you. You deal with him. I'm going to take my hands off and quit trying to fix this thing. I'm going to let you do it. And it'll get fixed a lot quicker, Coach, and vice versa, if the men will do that with their wives. And just say, that's your daughter. You take care of her. You bring her where she needs to be. And when we take our hands off, Coach, and quit being critical, God fixes this thing a lot quicker.
Well, Randy, that's well said. I was reminded, a lot of you don't know this about me. When I taught my first 6 years of teaching, I was a high school physical education teacher. And then when I wanted to be hired as football coach at Heath High School here in Licking County, they didn't have a physical education opening. So I had to go back to school and become a special education teacher. You could do it real quickly. You could take a couple courses and get temporary certification. Now, you guys know what that, you know what special education is? Now, some of you maybe even were in special education. Maybe you were dyslexic, maybe you had some learning disabilities, and that's not what I'm talking about. When I went to Heath High School, they called it special education, but it was multi-handicapped, man. It was kids in wheelchairs, kids that couldn't stand up straight when they walked, kids that had crutches. One of the most humbling things I ever did in my life. But one of the most gratifying things I ever did in my life is I took every handicapped child in that class that I had, and I got them involved in football. I made them water boys. I made them team managers. I gave them a jersey to wear at the game. When all the football team dressed up on Friday and came to school, Billy Coakley had on his shirt. He had on his own jersey. Bobby Johns had on his own jersey. And you would not believe the transformation that happened in their lives from the classroom to their life. They quit. They used to walk down the hall leaning up against the wall. You guys know what I'm talking about? Getting as far away from people as they possibly could. Because what were they? They were the dregs of the earth. They weren't good to anybody. They were in that handicapped class. They were called the retard. Wait, you know what I'm talking about? And then all of a sudden, Billy Coakley was carrying the water bottles on Friday night. And all the people in the school saw him down there. That's us, isn't it? That's the discerning of the body. And nobody's ever asked you to carry a water bottle before. And you're just wandering around in your Christian walk, and you just want to carry a towel for the best player. You just want to be able to put on that jersey and just be part of something bigger than yourself. And you've been going to church. Some of your spouses have been going to church, and it's just repetitive, 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 and they don't plug in. They have nowhere to plug in, and they're slinking down the hall, trying to avoid any confrontation. There's one thing we do here. I've said it over and over and over. Your 2 cents is worth 2 cents here. You get to wear the jersey here. And nobody can make fun of you. Nobody can criticize you. Oh, they can, but not the ones that don't have the uniform on. They can't. So I would encourage those of you, part of our walk has to be to encourage our brother. We have to discern the body and look around and see what it is our brothers and sisters are struggling with. And we begin to do that as we lift them up. We all get elevated. When the nose tackle gets stronger in the weight room, the whole team benefits. When the quarterback learns to throw the ball to our guys, we all get better. Right? So enough of this all-star playing thing we call religion, church. Let's begin to discern the body. Love all of you. honored to be part of this group. October 9 and 10 here in Ohio. Get here. Sam, sneak over the border. Come and join us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.